Turn our attention to the Lord's word. I found this interesting. Maybe you will too. Did you know that at the Tower of Babel, one common language of mankind was turned into many languages? That's how we got our many languages. Because of their inability to communicate with each other, the people were forced to spread and fill the earth. Remember, that's what God said he wanted them to do. And they didn't want to do it. So God confused their languages. Thus they had to do that. Those who arrived in China could still remember the true history of the world. The creation, the Garden of Eden, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. For nearly 2,000 years, the ancient Chinese worshiped the true God, who they called Sheng Tai. In the early days of their civilization, someone had to write down this new Chinese language. This unknown linguist settled upon a pictorial symbolism for the letters. For example, the inventor had to figure out how to write the word for boat. He chose three symbols for boat. The symbol for vessel, the symbol for eight, and the symbol for mouth. Mouth stands for a person, even in our language. For example, we say a family has five mouths to feed. So the symbol for boat was a vessel. The symbol for boat was a vessel with eight people. The inventor of the early Chinese language was obviously thinking about what? That most famous boat that he knew of. And what was that? Noah's Ark. With eight people on board. You look at that, there was eight people on board. Noah and his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. Eight people. That's what they used to signify and symbolize boat. I find that amazing, don't you? There are actually dozens of the original Chinese symbols which exactly correspond with events that are right out of Genesis chapters 1 through 11. Embedded within the Chinese language is the history and the knowledge of God and the true history of mankind up to and including the Tower of Babel. Of course, you wouldn't hear the Chinese leaders today in China talk about such things, would you? But it's a fact. Those things are a fact. But not number two, so we'll just read the one, but need to turn our attention to the Lord's word. This morning we come to another interesting episode in the life of Christ and his disciples. Small episode. Four short verses. And at first glance, it would seem that this particular event that the Lord witnessed did not have anything to do with what went before. However, as we're going to look at the text this morning and look into it further and deeper, we're going to find that there is indeed a connection between this incident and what went before. And what the disciples learned from it and what we can learn from it. Remember in our text last week, Jesus spoke of the scribes. Jesus spoke of the scribes devouring. Take care of this. Devouring widows' houses. You remember that? What he said, the scribes. Now that, not that they literally ate the widows' houses. He was using a metaphor. But what they actually did to widows. And we looked at what perhaps that entailed. Well, this morning we find in our text that Jesus, our Lord, saw what a widow did and what he knew about her that the others didn't. And this is again another valuable teaching moment for the 12. But it's also a valuable teaching moment for us as well. And with that, we turn to our text. Matthew chapter 12, verses 41 through 48. Or excuse me, Mark chapter 12, not Matthew. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Not 48, 41 through 44, and that ends the chapter. Mark chapter 12. It says, and he sat down opposite the treasury, and observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums, a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned and all she had to live on. Now, I believe, let me find this here. Matthew doesn't record this. Luke does. The parallel passage in Luke says, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all. For they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on. And we're going to pick up next week with what Luke and Mark talks about further. But let's set the scene here, shall we? In Mark chapter 12, in Mark's version of it, Mark chapter 12, 41 through 44. Let's look at the context of this. What is the first thing you notice about this? Again, I like to tell people that when you read Scripture, and you read God's word, you want to ask yourself questions. And think about the first questions that come to your mind. Well, the first question that comes to my mind when I look at this text is this. The first thing I notice and I ask myself about is this. The humanity of Jesus. Can you see it there? The humanity of our Lord, how human he was. Now, we don't know how long Jesus had been in the temple that day. It's still Tuesday of 33 AD, or some want to say 30 AD, I prefer 33 AD, that's how old he was. AD means Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. He was 33 when he was crucified. But anyway, we don't know how long on that Tuesday, how long he had been in the temple. But I surmise that our Lord had been standing for quite a while. He'd had these religious leaders coming to him time after time after time, teaching us the 12 in the meantime and doing other things, but he had been standing probably for quite a while that day. So here we notice the humanity of Jesus. Jesus goes out of the temple area where he had been, and he goes near what is called the court of women. He was no longer in the area where he had been, the court of the Gentiles. He goes into what was known as the court of the women. And notice this is where I say that you see the humanity of Jesus. You notice what he does. He sits down, of all things. He sits down somewhere near the court of women. Probably on some bench or something there. And he sits down opposite to what was known as the treasury area, to what was known as where there was a treasury box. And he sits down. Wouldn't you not find that odd? Our Lord was probably tired, been standing quite a while, so he wants to sit. Anything wrong with that? I don't think so. But the next thing we notice here is that our Lord, and this is a lesson for us, is that our Lord was always and constantly observant of what was going on around him. He didn't just sit down, you know, and close his eyes and go to sleep. He could have, but he didn't do that. He sat down and he looked around him. And he observed what was going on. Don't you find that interesting? I do. You know why? Because, brothers and sisters, there are so many people in life that they're going through life like they have blinders on. That they don't observe what's going on around them. They're just going through life, lickety-split, doing whatever, but not paying attention or observing what's happening, what's going on around them. You think of what's happening in our country, in our state, in our society. A lot of that, brothers and sisters, is because people are not aware. They're not observant of what's going on around them. Jesus, on the other hand, he observed. And he's aware of what's going on around him. So let's stop for a moment and examine what is going on here. Passover week was a busy time of the year. And many people, in fact, thousands of people, would come in and they would bring their monetary offering into the temple. They bring their monetary offerings into the temple area. And in this area, I have my pen here. In this area, there were 13 shaped, trumpet shaped boxes or receptacles. These were called, in the Hebrew, these were called sophars. And they were placed in that area in the court of women, no less. And they were used to collect the various offerings for the temple. But here's the thing. Well, our text doesn't tell us. But here's the thing. The people could hear. Now see, this is where I'm saying that you got to see the connection of what went before. Remember how Jesus described the scribes? And the teachers of the law, the scribes, the religious leaders of the day, how they like to dress, how they like to be seen. Think of this. When the people, and many of these, not just men and women, but specifically a lot of these would be scribes and religious leaders of the day, they could hear the coins go down these sophars. They could hear it. And you could just imagine the scene, right? The more that was put in, guess what? The louder the sound was. Now, 13 of them now. You imagine, that's a lot of noise. See, Jesus is observant, though. But you could also imagine that people were, too. Because it has been said that the rich would put their coins in those sophars, those trumpet-shaped boxes, so that when they hit the bottom, it would make them ring like the sound of a trumpet. The rich would do that so they could hear that. And so other people, and you think of the scribes now, the religious leaders, so that they could hear that. What a sound it made. Whoa! You know, you can think and you can imagine that. When people were saying, wow, he must have put in a lot. More did that trumpet ring. And then they could have probably thought, well, that guy must be stingy. No, he didn't put in as much. I didn't hear that trumpet ring as much as those others did. You can imagine people, you know, just imagine people thinking things like that and saying things like that. Because remember, they didn't have paper currency during those days. They just had coins. So Jesus watches many rich people doing that very thing. And then all of a sudden, he sees a widow woman come, and she puts her coins in. And he notices that she only puts two coins in. Now, we know that just putting two coins in, that they don't make near the noise that the others do, right? It's just two coins. Mark tells us that they amounted to about a cent. These coins were called lepta that she put in. Two little copper coins were called lepta. And they literally meant this. Lepta literally meant tiny things. So they were small. So you know they wouldn't make that kind of a noise. In fact, the lepta was the smallest coin in Palestine. Maybe as small as our penny, our cent. That's what it amounted to. Now, we all know from reading the scriptures that a denarius was a day's wage. Now, here's the interesting thing. The two leptas that this widow put in only amounted to 1/64 of a denarius. 1/64 of that amount. Now think about that. What does that mean? This widow was very poor. She didn't have a whole lot. But now notice something here as well, too. And many have preached on this as far as tithing, you know, and giving and that. And which is not bad, was not wrong. But they say that then that Jesus is denigrating the rich. No, he's not. Jesus is not denigrating the rich for what they put in. He doesn't say that they were wrong in what they were giving. He doesn't condemn them, but neither does he commend them. Notice that. He doesn't condemn them, nor does he commend them. He just makes an observation about them. Now here's the contrast. Let us draw our attention back to what Jesus said about the scribes, the teachers of the law. They liked to do things for show, so that people would see how pious they were. But also remember the Lord's statement about them devouring widows' houses. This leads to a teaching moment for the 12. Jesus is sitting there. The 12 are, somewhere in the temple where they had been. And Jesus observes what's going on, and he calls the 12. Come here, guys. Come here. I got something to tell you. Come here. So you can imagine the 12 all come to see Jesus. And Jesus calls them to him, and he immediately says, "Verily, verily," as King James says, "I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you." Now, literally in the Greek, what Jesus said was, "Lego a me. Lego a me." And that's translated, "truly I say to you," or "truly, truly I say to you," or "verily, verily I say to you." But literally, and he says it twice. Literally, in the English, Jesus is saying this. And he calls him to me, "Listen to me. Lego a me. Listen to me." The reason why he does that is because when he says those kind of things, he's saying, "Listen up, guys. What I'm about to tell you is very important. You need to hear this. You need to hear this." That's what he's saying. That's what he means. He's saying, "Pay attention, fellas. This is important." Now notice what he says to them. What we read. "This poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in all their surplus, but she out of her poverty, but in all she owned, put in all she owned and all she had to live on." Now notice, when we notice what he says to them, if we had been there, we would most likely would have thought, or maybe even said to the Lord, we don't know if the 12 said that, but we might have thought something like this and said to him, "Say what? Say what?" She did what? You've got to be kidding me. This is what is so important that we hear? A widow woman put in two small copper coins that you couldn't even hear? That's what's important? That's what how many people would think? Now, 12 didn't say, and doesn't record for us what the 12 thought or what they said. But here now comes, finally, here in our last thing this morning, now the challenge comes for us. The challenge for the 12. Just what did Jesus mean? Because that's a challenge for us, for the 12, but it's also a challenge for us to today. But if you look at verse 44, he gives the explanation. He gives the reason why it's so important. Why it was important for the 12 and why it's important for us. Notice what he said. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned, all she had to live on. Now the 12 might have said, well, Lord, how do you know that? What do you mean, how does he know that? Who is he? He knew. The widow gave, here's the point. That's what Jesus was telling them. The widow gave sacrificially, not out of her abundance. She had no abundance. She had none. That's what Jesus was telling them. This widow gave all she had. That reminds me of what we read in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. However, the king said to Araunah, no, but I will surely buy from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. It reminds me of that. Do you see the parallel? Do you see the parallel in what Paul says? That we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7 and verse 12. Verse 12, he says, for if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And he says in verse 3, therefore I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, of their own accord, not coerced, not forced, they gave. See that parallel there? But you also see that what Jesus is doing to them and what he's saying to the 12 is he's giving further criticism of the scribes, of the teachers of the law. Remember what he said? They devoured widows' houses. They took what was the widows for themselves. Didn't take care of the widows. And along comes a widow and she's only got two leptas. Two smallest coins of Palestine. What she's got left. Perhaps the reason why that, the only reason, and that test doesn't tell us, but perhaps the reason why that's all she has is because the scribes, the teachers of the law, have taken from her. Jesus wants them to get that lesson. But here, this widow woman, she gives all. All she had. And why? Because she loves Yahweh. She's giving out of her heart. I like what the Scottish scholar William Barclay said. The woman might have kept one coin. Just one. It would not have been much, but it would have been something. But she gave everything she had. There's a great symbolic truth here, he says. It is our tragedy that there is often some part of our lives, some part of our activities, some part of ourselves which we do not give to Christ. Somehow there's always something which we hold back. We rarely make the final sacrifice and the final surrender. Is that not true for many people? Is that not true? I think so. Whereas the rich people, on the other hand, what Jesus said, they gave out of their surplus. See, what they gave is what Jesus is telling them. What they gave, they're not going to miss. They gave it without any thinking, without any thought. Hey, Mama, I'm not going to miss this. But I got plenty laid up elsewhere. So I had to give out of my surplus. That's what Jesus is teaching them. They weren't going to miss what they had given because they had more. That's what he's saying. Aren't many people like that today? And I'm not talking just about giving of money, but I'm talking about giving of themselves, giving of time. Giving them so much more. Isn't that true of people today? I think so. So what can we learn from this? I believe that it not only has to do with the giver, for that does factor in. We must not underestimate that. But I think it has more than anything else to do with what Jesus, what he's teaching them. It has to do with motive. It has to do with motive, with heart attitude. The widow was not giving to be noticed or seen by people. Are you kidding me? She comes in there. You can see, you can imagine her coming in there, you know, and she puts her two little lettuce in. And she doesn't look around to see what other people are doing or what other people are thinking. She just puts her two coins in. And she's not waiting to hear what it sounds like, because she probably knows that it doesn't sound like much. No, but she's given all that she has. She was committed to Yahweh. That's why she gave the way she did. That's what Jesus is teaching them. And how do we know that? Because what Jesus said, she gave all she had to live on. What was she going to live on? How was she going to survive? You know what that comes down to? Well, many people don't think about today as well. But Jesus was giving them a lesson in that. Trust. She trusted in the Lord. She trusted in the Lord to provide for her. I firmly believe that. It's like Brother Archie Foster said, the Lord looks at what is kept as well as what is given. I think he's correct in that. Let us be clear about this. This is not about health and wealth gospel either. Now, I've heard this passage preached about the widow's two mites in that way. Well, you give all you have, and don't leave anything out, and boy, the Lord's really going to give back to you. I don't know how many times my grandmother had heard those kind of things from televangelists, from Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne down. I can remember her saying, well, honey child, he said, if I send him this, you know, boy, he's just going to bless me and bless me. And my grandmother would continue to give them much of her Social Security and railroad pension that my grandfather earned to them. And do you think she got rich from it? No. But she would continue to do it. But you see, this is not about the health and wealth gospel either. She's not, Jesus doesn't say this. She's not giving so that she might give more in return. She's giving because she loves the Lord and because she trusts in them. As Brother Paul McReynolds says, this incident again shows Jesus' reversal, shows the reversal of common values. It's not the amount, but the commitment behind the gift that matters. And so many people need to learn that. Brothers and sisters, this ultimately has to do, as I said, with trust. And in that regards, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, I Surrender All. Because that's what it's about. The question we must ask ourselves, I think, on a daily basis, that too many of you are not asking themselves is, are we surrendering all? I don't mean monetarily, money-wise. That part of it. But I mean ourselves. Are we surrendering all to Him? That's something surely for us to think about. And Jesus was teaching the 12 that. Ha ha.